Listen to me, Blankenship. Those white glasses of yours, if I saw them in the open field, Blankenship, I would tackle your ass.
Just because of the glasses. That's what you're
doing.
But you
mostly
also have glasses.
It's mostly what I'm doing. But his glasses are more ridiculous than my glasses. Dominique, I want to play something for you here, and I want to get your thoughts after you hear it. So here it is. Play this for Dominique Foxworth.
Keyshawn Johnson.
He throwing the ball to Willie Snead. Willie Snead, though. Good player, but it's not even close to DeAndre Hopkins.
He knows the NFL.
Matt Nagy has not been able to figure it out since becoming the head coach.
All right, Dominique, what happened there? What happened?
I mean, he's right. I don't know what I'm supposed to react to. The man is out here telling the truth. Great show. DVR it, podcast it, whatever you got to do.
Let's give it one more spin.
Let's give you one
Keyshawn
more.
Keyshawn Johnson.
He throwing the ball to Willie Snead. Willie Snead, though. Good player, but it's not even close to DeAndre Hopkins.
He knows the NFL.
Dominique, any other thoughts there?
What am I missing? He knows the NFL? Willie Snead is not DeAndre Hopkins? These are facts.
They are facts, but also I don't think he's throwing the ball to Willie Snead.
Willie Snead is not Will Fuller. That's the problem.
Like, is he confused?
Oh, I thought he was talking about Lamar Jackson. Talking about Lamar Jackson?
Actually, maybe he was. Maybe if he expand that out a bit, he was talking about
Weird
Lamar
observation
Jackson.
Being that Lamar Jackson has never thrown the ball to DeAndre Hopkins.
No, I think and this is just maybe my mind making all the connections that I shouldn't be making, but I'm assuming that he was saying, like, Lamar doesn't have a number one receiver. He doesn't have somebody like DeAndre Hopkins. He's throwing it to a guy like Willie Snead.
I think
that's the point he's making.
He's throwing the ball to Willie Snead. Willie Snead, though. Good player, but it's not even close to DeAndre Hopkins.
He knows the NFL.
I think there's a Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson comparison going on there. I think Dominique is right.
I don't know. It could be. This show's all about inflection. This is sort of like the end of your Advance Auto Parts library, where I'm not exactly sure.
I like your version better, though. I got to be honest. Let's go with that. I like that he knows the NFL after saying two players that have never played together.
Dominique.
There's an all-star game. All-star game, maybe.
But Dominique, they both have Will Fuller and Willie Snead have Roman numerals in their name.
Yes.
It's an obvious connection to be made here, he meant.
They both have the V.
I'm going with you. Right, I like it. It's more fun that way. He knows the NFL. Two players that have only been in the same room at the Pro Bowl.
Go ahead and play what you've been trying to play there, Mike, and Dominique has stepped on you two times.
Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See stores for details. I'm not going to blame Chris again. It's only going to cost me money.
Chris texted me during the show today. He said, finally, I made one positive contribution since being fired. I threw out there the idea of Dan tackling somebody.
You're one for 2 weeks.
Is there going to be a Pro Bowl this year? Like, I'm just now thinking, am I not going to be able to see the drone drop or dodgeball this year because of Corona?
Correct. You are not.
Pro Bowl.
Yeah. No Pro Bowl this season.
Oh, my God.
2020 really is a disaster. It wasn't until now. But now that you get this news, changes everything.
And that's 2021 already off to a bad start. No Pro Bowl. Terrible.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird that was the safest game on the schedule.
Is the one we can't play.
Unsafe.
Is the one we can't play, yes.
So what did you guys do with the Dabo Swinney comments?
Nothing.
We were waiting for you.
Nothing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Except explain what happened to the audience.
Okay, well, this is what happened. So FSU Clemson gets canceled a few hours before it was supposed to go off. Medical personnel can't decide on something involving a positive test adjacent to one of the Clemson players. And then Dabo Swinney takes to the microphone and, says that FSU didn't want to play them and that not the players. That
he
said
the players and coaches wanted to play. The administration did not want to play that game, not because of COVID, because they didn't want to play Clemson.
And I'd understand if they didn't want to play Clemson, if anyone didn't want to play Clemson. But the idea, though, that Dabo and, these football coaches can be incredibly lopsided. Like, there's just a tone deafness involved with all of these kids playing in the first place in the middle of a pandemic when the college football season is an unholy mess and we keep sending these young bodies out there to just make money. Like, that's the only reason we're doing it. We're not doing it to declare a champion. We're not doing it to figure out who's got the best team. It ain't any of that. It's just to get money. And so the idea that medical personnel would give their advice for FSU and that Dabo wouldn't keep quiet there is simply tone deaf.
The kids are doing it for those reasons. The coaches and the administration, they are not. They are doing it for the money. You're right, which makes it ludicrous that a coach would blast another team for being concerned about COVID.
It's also quite the misdirection, because I don't think it's being ignored, but it's being softened because we're all running to the inflammatory Dabo quotes. But to have a symptomatic player along your offensive line at practice all week, I feel like should be talked about more.
Yeah, do you have the sound there of Dabo so that Dominique can react to it?
This game was not canceled because of COVID. COVID was just an excuse to cancel the game. And to be honest with you, I don't think it has anything to do with their players. I have no doubt that their players wanted to play and would have played. And same with the coaches. To me, the Florida State administration forfeited the game. And if they want to play Clemson, in my opinion, they need to come to Clemson or they need to pay for all expenses. Other than that, there's no reason for us to play them. We were there, we were ready, and we met the standards.
Dominique, your thoughts there?
I mean, there's no other NCAA sports happening right now in the fall. Like, the whole construct is absurd. We can jump on Dabo Swinney, but Dabo Swinney is Dabo Swinney. He's a football guy who wants to play football. Like, this whole thing is a bit of a money grab that's kind of that is actually uncomfortable. So, I mean, I could care less about Dabo Swinney. I don't expect that much of him. He's an outstanding recruiter and football coach, but he's not a medical professional. I don't know that he knows what he's talking about, and this whole thing is a mess. I love football.
Dominique, is college football going as poorly as you expected, or is this worse?
I think it's going better than I expected. I think everything has gone better than I expected, which is not to say that it's going well. I just expected much worse. And I guess we don't know the long-term impacts of all of this stuff, but it is kind of a mess where we have guys canceling games, teams canceling games, rescheduling games. It's unpredictable, and it is a mess, and I expected it to be worse. So, but nothing worth celebrating, but it is going pretty poorly.
We were talking about this in the local hour before the show. I think the thing that surprised us all is how well the NFL has gone. Like, Dominique, I'm with you, but the one thing, the product that hasn't really been affected, and I thought it would be the most from the lack of fans and because of COVID, is the NFL. I'm enjoying this season as if it was any other NFL season. I really am.
Sundays do feel exactly the same as they used to, the televised experience. Like, there seems to be no different. The basketball, even the NBA, there seem to be differences that you can feel. Football is weird how the televised experience, to me, it doesn't feel any different. Not a microbe different, Dominique.
It's because we don't care about the players, and I include myself in that. Like, we care about a couple quarterbacks. We don't care about all the players that are on and off of the protocols. We don't care about the mini games where we had 5 and 6 players not on the field. And I agree, there's a distance between football and its fans. Maybe it's the helmets, maybe it's the size of the field, but it does feel by and large the same. And I am enjoying this season just as much as I would have enjoyed last season. You're right, it feels different, but it's hard for me to call it a success when we see every other week there is a game postponed, and there are games that they play anyway, despite the fact that there are 5, 6, 7 players on this COVID protocol.
Forgive me, Dominique. I didn't mean to skip past the bodies there. I was talking about his entertainment experience for the fan. I was talking about viewing experience, like just what your Sundays end up feeling like there. I don't even know what you'd point to as a difference, like that it feels different. Maybe crowd noise on your television, maybe.
I mean, that Ravens-Titans game felt like a big game, no fans, and it felt like every other Ravens-Titans game I've watched over the last couple of years.
You know, I wonder what they're doing differently, because you guys tell me about this, because the professional people, the people surrounding the professional game and televising it, at the highest level of sports broadcasting expertise. And I've got to tell you that when you're watching, like, maybe the USC game Saturday night and the feed goes down for 4 minutes and you have some technical difficulties, it's startling just because of how expert all of this stuff usually is. There are a lot of moving parts that go into broadcasting a football game, and it's fairly seamless. But you do notice in the pros, that it's done better because I never seem to get those shots that make me sad of the beginning of the Ohio State Indiana game when you're looking and you're like, oh, the, or Northwestern Wisconsin. You're looking in and there's nobody there. And you can see that no one's there. And then it starts to feel weird. I feel like the NFL does a better job of camouflaging that than the only times you end up seeing. And maybe it's because I'm watching the Red Zone channel. The only times you end up seeing that the place is empty is when a player's like Lambo leaping into stands and there's no one there.
I've gone out of my way to watch the Dolphin games like wire to wire, and it has no effect. Like, they're going less to the fans than they're staying on the field, which is great, and they're piping in the right amount of crowd noise that makes it feel like there's some sort of crowd there, even though I know that there's not. But they're doing less and less shots out to the stands during the entirety of a game, which helps because it keeps your focus on what's on the field, and what's on the field is the same as it's always been.
Dominique, what did you make of the Dolphins benching Tua yesterday? I thought that was ballsy by Flores to just try and win the game. Like, just bleep this. I don't care about how this looks, how this sounds, how this feels to anybody. Just bleep this. I need somebody who's going to be good in 2 minutes, and Tua's holding on to the ball too long, and he's taking too many sacks.
Yeah, I think building a culture, as cliche as it is, it's about all the decisions that you make and the behaviors supporting the things that you say. And it seems like that's what Brian Flores is doing consistently. It seems like the decisions that he makes support the rhetoric that he speaks. And that's how you build a team that believes in you and believes in that culture, that nobody is bigger than it. It's all cliche and feels like nonsense. But when your coach lives by it in that moment, he seemed like he was living by it. He's trying to give them the best opportunity to win. It's hard for anybody to have excuses in that climate when you don't feel like practicing, or you're tired, or you don't feel like running a particular play, or you don't think the game plan is perfect. It's hard to generate that type of ill will in a locker room, or those things to bubble up and impact the culture negatively when the guy at the top is like, you know what? Drafted this guy first round overall. He's the golden child. He ain't playing well. Sit him down. That's a powerful thing to do. So even though they lost yesterday, I think it appears to me that Brian Flores has a good handle on this team and he's making all the right moves going forward. Probably should be coach of the year unless Mike Tomlin goes undefeated.
How about Frank Reich? I think those are all fair points.
Oh, hold on. Hold on, Chris. Yep. I see that finger.
No, I'm actually good. I'm just interested because I kind of said a similar thing in the local hour, that he kind of sent a message to Tua. And because it was me saying it, I was kind of mocked. And now Dominique kind of just said a similar thing, and everybody nodding like, oh, it's a great point by Dominique.
No, because you put your finger.
I didn't say send a message to Tua. I'm sorry, Stu. Go ahead.
No, because you put your finger up. You let me finish there, Chris. What I was going to say is you're playing a very dangerous game with Tua, with his emotions, with his head, okay? I don't know if he can handle all that. And let me ask you this. What happens if Fitzpatrick goes out there and they win the game? They win the game. Then where are they with Tua? Where is Flores with
place,
Tua?
Dugan.
No, you're starting Fitzpatrick next week is what you're doing.
NFL coaches are not quite as short-sighted as you are about
certain.
I mean, you think they are? You think they're as short-sighted as you are?
I think if he brings Fitzpatrick in and he gets him a couple of touchdowns in that victory, it'd be very hard to sit him.
He benched him after two blowouts. He benched him.
Okay, but I think it'd be tough to do it after that spot.
But he benched him after winning a couple of games by blowout.
But you would have a locker room all of a sudden divided saying, no, go back to that guy.
Mm-hmm. Dangerous game, Dan.
Yeah.
I think that he is not establishing who's the guy as much as he's establishing the way that the organization will operate. The organization will operate in a way that puts the best player out there to give you a chance to win. So, like, I think that's what he's establishing, which then makes it easy to go back to Tua whenever you decide to go back to Tua, because that's what you believe. And if Tua plays bad in that game, go back to Fitzpatrick. I think it's all about building up some trust and goodwill. And it seems like there are very few coaches in this league that their team believe in them and have faith in them the way that they do with Brian Flores. So not everyone could get away with that with every player, but I think he could.
Correct me if I am wrong here, because one of the things that I found interesting about it, but I don't know what was being said by others, and I don't know what was being said on the broadcast, is that the immediate reaction that I saw seemed to be Tua must be hurt, because no one saw it coming. No one saw the idea that he would bend. And even though it was the most obvious thing, in retrospect, the coach was out ahead in front of everyone else that I could tell by doing a thing that people weren't expecting, that is the thing you do when you have Ryan Fitzpatrick. You try and get a spark when your young quarterback is holding the ball and seems to be confused by what's happening with the Denver defense. You throw a veteran out there, right, and you try and get a fourth quarter spark. You gave him three quarters, and it was just three and out and punt all game. I didn't see it coming. I didn't see what he did there. Who predicted it?
There was a replay that might have suggested, oh, something with that ankle on that most recent hit. There's a lot of punishment being dished out by the Broncos' D-line, but then you realize Tua's not getting worked on, and all that goes out the window.
Right. Bradley Chubb was all over him. The whole, I mean, the defensive line was all over him, but then Fitzpatrick comes in, same skill players, same offensive line, and Fitzpatrick plays better. So it was weird. I'm worried about Tua.
It's not weird. Hold on a second. Hold on.
It's a little bit weird.
It's not weird. They have spent 2 months not losing. They have gotten to the point where you guys were counting the scheduled wins, and you did it at Denver. You counted scheduled wins, and you went to Denver, and you counted it, even though in that league, stuff like that ends up happening every damn week with somebody.
Well, they play the Jets this week. That's a win.
Still counting.
But I think that what you do there, Stugatz, by you're assuming something that I don't believe is so, and I can't believe that we haven't dissuaded you of this in 20 years doing this. You have a coach being impacted by what's being said on sports radio because Ryan Fitzpatrick is better at the 2-minute drill. The specifics of they needed points fast because they were down double digits and it was three and out and punt the entire time. Like, he gave Tua plenty of chances to stop holding the ball too long. He gave him plenty of chances to do anything, and he was doing nothing. Like, it was all constipated out there.
I understand. Listen, it's a tough spot. You're playing for the now, and you also have to consider the future. So I get all that, because it's a big game, and you want to win that game, and Fitzpatrick perhaps gives you the better chance of winning that game the way Tua was playing. I just worry. There's a couple of things I'm worried about with Tua. He seems like a game manager. That's not the reason you drafted him. And then I'm just wondering, in that spot, realizing how big of a game it is, don't you want the quarterback to be in that position as many times as possible and try to figure his own way out of it?
I understand that, but is there another quarterback who's had this experience that Tua had in college where you come in, you get sit down, you come back in, you're switching spots with a less talented quarterback in Jalen Hurts? Like, if there's anybody who is prepared to do something like that, it would be Tua, given his college experience.
That's a great point.
Chris, what do you have here? Stitches has broken his social media silence. I see, Billy, that in the chat, Stitches, the why do you explain Stitches to the audience? I don't think many people in the audience
got this, Dan.
Well, he's a rapper whose face is tattooed, and he's a white guy from Miami, and he had Brick in Your Face. It was a very popular song, and the only one that was popular in his catalog, I think. And it was about cocaine, about how much cocaine he liked to sell. And so what is the breaking of the social media silence? Can anyone give me any details?
Yeah, I got very excited about it because I was super into what Dominique was saying and all, but I took the opportunity to check Instagram, and Stitches has broken his silence. He's okay. He's got some more tattoos on his face, you'll be happy to know. And he was taking this time off from social media very clearly to work on himself, but also work on some music. Swipe up.
Mike, can you give me some Instagram information on Greg Norman? Can you send this photograph? Can you just send this photograph? Text it to Dominique, and I want to get his on-air reaction of the Greg Norman Instagram. Give it also to send it to Stugatz, and let's get their on-air reactions. Greg Norman, I don't want to contaminate the jury pool too much here and influence you guys, so I will just wait for you guys.
I think you're going to be disappointed in my reaction, because right now I'm looking at pictures of Stitches. So whatever you send me of Greg Norman is not going to be as shocking as what Stitches looks like.
Okay, well, we will see about that, because there are a couple of things to notice in the – this was sent to us last night by a colleague. It is not something that I it is not something that I was aware of. The comment section is filled with double entendres. It is filled. Wait a minute.
Oh my God, the shark.
Wait a minute.
It was
Dominic,
pants.
You said it wasn't going to be as shocking as.
Well, 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 my friend.
Oh my!
I don't
God.
Even need to zoom. No need to zoom.
Now I want to see this. Can you send it to me?
All right, send me yes. This hold on, but didn't you? I think there's some foreshadowing here. Let's wait for Chris. Oh,
Dan, there's definitely a shadow.
All right, send it to Chris.
I'm so jealous.
All right, first of all, Greg Norman is 65 years old, and he looks great with a six pack. Okay, he's just got.
Oh yeah, he's got some muscles too. Nice.
But wait till Chris gets this. Chris, I want you to drink all of this in. Okay.
Holy shit, man.
I want you.
Judging based off these context clues, I'm kind of, I think I know what I'm expecting here.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
All right. So let's see what we got here. Let's see.
Oh, man. That's a great white.